This is Pastor John. Thank you so much for coming to the website today and for joining me for this Saturday webcast as we talk about Monopoly, not just the game, but Monopoly itself. All right, it comes from a Greek term, monos, okay? And it exists when a specific individual or a particular enterprise has sufficient control over a particular product or a service to determine significantly the terms of which other individuals may have or do not have success to that business. So, monopolies are thus characterized by a lack of economic competition for the good of the service that they provide and the lack of the viable substitute goods. Now, this is taken from from the Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia that you get on the internet. We're going to talk about monopolies in churches and what that does. And once you look at the structure of a monopoly in the church, and I kind of like it in the dictionary because it talks about the market structures, the characteristics of it, the source of the monopoly's power, and the breaking up of monopolies, laws participating or having to do with that, and all of those kinds of things. Man, you have a world of information as we look at it. But let me... I guess in this webcast on this Saturday morning, what I wanted to do is to talk about Boardwalk, Park Place. You know, when you're playing a Monopoly game, you have the expensive parts of town. And when you play that particular game, there is a sense of, you got to have, I guess, a sense of personal greed, ambition. It's about buying up small properties and getting large stuff, just getting bigger and bigger and better, because the bigger you get and the better you get, the more you own. I recall playing Monopoly with my children and with my wife often when we were a young couple, and Lucy, of course, would teach the girls how to beat Daddy. They always got a kick out of beating me and playing Monopoly, especially getting the properties and heavily taxing me when I went by, so much to the degree that I would land on one of their properties with about four houses on it, and I was just bankrupt if the die was ever cast on that particular number. Well, I believe that church ministries have become monopolies like that. You know, when you have one pastor, I recall back in the South in Texas, it was Tony Evans and the Urban Alternative. He would give his pastoral conference. It was the first pastor's conference for black pastors that Tony Evans was given. Tony Evans was the first black graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary, and he gave some, and I know because I went to the original ones, he gave some of the most jamming pastors' conferences, the speakers and everything, and it was all biblical, meeting the biblical criterion. Then he switched up. Then, of course, Jake's down the street from him started giving his at the Potter's House. So he got the Urban Alternative ministry there in Oak Cliff. And then you got T.D. Jakes at Potter's House. And there was other pastors that tried to start their conferences. Needless to say, when MacArthur started his first conference, it was affordable, price-wise, for young men to go there and buy some of the substance that they needed and whatnot. Now it's become outrageous, just outrageous. The more money these machines kick in, just amazing. just amazing. And what is really amazing is how people have a tendency to go along with these monopolies. Let's talk about the in a monopoly, there is one seller of a monopolized good which produces all the output. Therefore, the whole market has been served by a single firm. Now, let's take this system of monopoly and let's look at the way the church structure is and the way that market power is. And I'm reading right from the dictionary here. Market power is the ability to affect the terms and the conditions of exchange so that the price of the product is set by the firm. Price is not imposed by the market as a perfect competition. Now, let's talk about that a little bit, because see, this market power mentality has come into the church, and the marketing power by what they can sell you a DVD for. I'm brought to mind when I think about the Master Seminary series on theological lectures that are that were taped at the seminary in the classroom that is now open to the public. I mean, some of these DVDs are selling for over $2,000, maybe $3,000 out of the Master Seminary. Now, when you're talking about a monopoly on that issue, I have never in my life heard of any theological seminary selling theological tapes of lectures in a grad school for thousands and thousands of dollars. Just unheard of. Unheard of. If it were being filmed and you filmed it and you have all of that, you know my idea on that. Give that away. Okay? So, it's the ability to affect the terms and the conditions of exchange so that the price of the product is set by the firm. So, what is the church group doing charging thousands of dollars for video DVDs about theology? And who gives the church, either the Master Seminary or whomever, the right to set that price and to get a monopoly on that? And then does that monopoly set the prices for the rest of the things? Who says that a church pastor needs to be a book writer and a book salesman while he pastors the church? I was talking with a friend of mine, and this guy's been my friend for a long time. We don't fellowship at the same church anymore, but we talk on the regular. And the reason that I like talking with him now, after knowing him for well over 20 years, is because both of us, even without having a conversation about it, find ourselves making the same kind of decisions in life as mature men. And once you become a mature man, you don't look at things the way you did years ago. Surely I don't. When I look at the term monopoly, I never try to have a monopoly in ministry on anything. What do I call it? Into the word is the biblical alternative. I didn't pick that up from anybody else. It just came to my mind. We're the alternative in a way that you can do it biblically, because the rest of the world is getting soft in biblical Christianity. Another good thing I was thinking about, I was talking with another Christian guy, and I was telling the guy over the phone this morning that he doesn't know the wickedness of the kind of person that I am. I told him I didn't tell him about the lurid details, but I told him that I'm a pretty twisted individual. And he asked me how, and I said, I'm not going to tell you because you wouldn't like me. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't love me, and you probably wouldn't have any respect for me. So I'm not going to tell anybody that. See, we all know that we have a monopoly on who and what we are, and we know who and what we are. And talking about the market commodities and all that kind of stuff. Market power. Market power is that ability to affect the terms and the conditions of that exchange so that the price of the product is set by the firm. I don't have that in Christianity because the market power has been set by Christ. He's already set that. I don't even think in those terms when I think about doing Christianity. The only thing that I'm battling and waging a heck of a battle with right now, I know a lot of you aren't like me. You don't like to hear pastors talk like this, but it's a battle with my own passions, my own mind. And I've always been involved in a struggle or a wrestling match in that particular area in my life. I can now talk about it more freer, and I feel good talking about it. I really like doing these webcasts and being a transparent pastor because I know that some of you guys out there and gals too love me because of my transparency, because I talk about it. And I talk about my struggles. I talk about my desires. I talk about the things that I know that God doesn't like in me. The things that I hate about me. And the things that I, like Paul, talk about often in Romans chapter 7. When I would do good, the evil is always present. When I'm trying to think the good, there's another entity trying to get me to think the evil. And the evil sometimes wins over in the battle for the mind. And I find myself wanting and needing to read more of the scriptures. Yet I know the scriptures. I know what they teach. I know what it's all about. But it's something about me that I want dearly. And if it doesn't take place, I try to make that happen. See, make that happen. One area that I will not fall in that area is when it comes to monopolizing things for market value, for greed and prosperity and stuff like that. I would rather go without anything than to do something like that. My greatest sins, I guess, if I were to mention them, would be my own personal private passions that I have that I don't think I'll ever be able to get total control of. I just don't. And talking about turning it over to Jesus, whoa, you want to count with me the times? Yeah. Just being a Christian is work these days because of the environment that's around us, because of what's happening all around us. How do we reconcile the John Piper situation? How do we do that? Now, one guy wrote me and said it's a piss poor day. I guess the way he put it, he didn't use those terms, but he says it's a bad day for the tulip when John Piper goes that way. I received another email from a YouTube watcher trying to justify MacArthur's ambiguous double talk. I didn't even answer the person. I don't answer ambiguous language like that. I guess I've come to this point that you don't want me around you because I will tell the truth. Someone died that I knew in my home church. The vet. I've known this person all of my life, practically all of my life. I won't say anything negative about the person because there's not one negative thing that I could say about the person. I guess if I were to raise a question about the person before they died, is why didn't they speak to me? Why didn't they speak to me? And so the question is, am I going to the funeral? No. What? You won't speak to me in truthfulness and transparency and love. How could, you know, I was trying to justify, how could I go to a funeral? And I understand that they may have wanted me to say something. I can't go because I would ask publicly, why didn't they speak to me? Because that's what people do when you love the other person. See, one thing you got to understand about PJ, you know, have you ever read the scripture and say, don't love just in word, but in deed? When I love you in deed, I love you. And I'm not ashamed of that. And I found that there are so many, I was talking with a Christian brother about this last night. There are so many Christians that say that they love in word, but only love their own families and their own market power, put it that way. All right. And I'm not like that. I'm a person that's very transparent. And I was thinking about it because I said, well, I cannot go to the funeral because I'm so transparent, I'll say something. And I know that this group of people are locked in their matrix. That's the way I'll put it, that it's impossible for them to listen to the truth. And it would be harmful, even at a funeral, to tell them the truth. So I've decided to allow them to stay in their fantasy. Wow. You know, as I pondered this Saturday morning, and tomorrow's Easter, and Pastor Sean will be the speaker, and I'm going to bring about a 15-minute talk on baptism because we have some folk in our fellowship that wants to be baptized. And since we're going to be at the Portland Ranch address, we'll probably do some baptizing in the pool there. But even when I think about that, I think I made the statement that there wouldn't be no re-baptisms. You know, some people got baptized by another preacher in another ministry and they want to be re-baptized over because they think in some kind of strange, unique way that if I baptize them, that then at that point it makes the baptism justifiable because I baptize them and I'm a Bible teacher and all of that. I don't believe in that kind of hocus pocus. That's ridiculous. So I used to, in the old Baptist ministry that I was in, rebaptize them because they wanted to start all over, and I don't know what that means. You don't need to be rebaptized to start all over. You just repent where you are. But I don't know. These days I'm having real bad vibes about the whole church thing. I love God even more and more. I sense my own sinful behavior more and more. My prayers have not been that intense the way I know they ought to be, and because I am at a place in my spiritual life right now, even at 66, I don't think it's all for naught. I was looking at a clip that Difference Maker has on his website about some South Americans that were killed, and this one Christian man survived. And he was telling them how he survived in this little video clip, how he was praying and talking to God when he was about to die. And the testimony and everything was, man, that really moved me. And I was saying to God, that's the way I want my life to end. You just wish somebody would just pick me up and say, hey, get out of a bus. We're going to kill you. And then I can talk to God and sing my way into heaven as they kill me. I want to die as a Christian martyr, believing in Jesus, instead of dying as this Christian pastor with all this stuff, got the monopoly on my book rights, my sales rights, my buildings, my popularity, my TV program, my radio program, all this stuff that I've done to build up. I'd rather die in a jungle with a bullet in my head, whispering the songs of Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, and telling Jesus how much I love him and how sorry I am for not being able to live up to it the way all of us should be living up to it. It's hard to live up to that, man. But I'm going to strive until I leave here. For those of you that think that I am kind of a person that, how can I say, just wants to be wicked and evil and mean and looking at other people and judging them for things like that. No, I don't do that. It's a calling that God has called me into, and I know that it causes some of you some grief when I ask these questions about John Piper and everything else. You know, I want you to think about those things. I want you to look at it and ask why, you know, honestly, why would he do that? See why all of that. I mean, man, the whole John Piper thing is another situation altogether. You know, I'm beginning to see or to come in contact with so much stuff that is going on that it is impossible for me to keep up with these changing situations that are going on in the organized big ministry churches, I guess you can call them. Usually on Easter Eve years ago, I would bring an Easter presentation. I think that you know all of the resurrection stories. You know about that. Now, I think that it's time for us to live an applicational Christian themes in our lives. Instead of us thinking about these monopolies that we built in our churches where we weigh how successful we are by the amount of dollars that we have coming in. This is just crazy, man. Or we deem ourselves successful because we have a leader that can now carry us to different heights, but we don't have to do anything. We just let them do it for us. Well, I would hope that that would change. I would hope that that would change. What's on the horizon for Into the Word and for me in the future? More lectures. What I'd like to do is I'd like to put up more stuff on the YouTube clips, but my cameraman has been not been showing up and giving me the kind of camera work that I need to do what I'd like to do. And filming and teaching at the same time has now become somewhat of a problem. I can't do both, so maybe the audio tapes will be better than the video ones for a while until I reconcile that. But I want to do more real teaching from the New Testament and give you a transliteration of that teaching, and so that it can rightly apply into your Christian life where you're living today. without marring the original intent of the word and taking away from any of the word's power to affect that change in the life of the believer. That's what I'm thinking about getting into in the next few weeks as we juggle things around a lot, because that's what I'm having to do now. Having to juggle. Okay, so it's going to be a short one. It's not going to take a long time to get through this. Don't have to take all this time. I want to thank many of you for your prayers and your thoughts. And I'd like you to concentrate on being a transparent person. A Christian that is not just one of those hold out the right hand of fellowship to a brother, or just choose the ones that you can manipulate to be your friends and then you're going to have church with them. No. That you can be so transparent that you can love the way that Christ loved us. Oh, Lord, help me to be that. That is what I want so badly. But the world is caving in against me, and there's where I am today. Stay in the Word.